that there's no way we can worship you in a way that will be worthy of you. Because you're such a great God. God, we want to do our best for you to please with our offering this morning. But we're just coming before you, the King of Kings, the King that's never let us down. You're wonderful in every way. Be here with us in this time. I know you're already here. You're already present. But even manifest yourself in a greater way so we can experience your glory. We came for an encounter with you. Nothing else matters but that encounter. Let us meet you through your word, through your song, through each other's tenderness, kindness, and love. Let us meet you this morning too. We won't go home the same as we came. For your God is worthy to be praised, as we always say. And God, we just thank you again that you serve and share your word in a way that's helpful to your people. Pride and anything else out the window. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good day to be in the house of the Lord. You want to get into the Word of the Lord? No, you have your sheet. I hope you have your Bible also. A couple verses. This is the same chapter. If you have your Bible, but there's a couple other verses come and look at. I wish I started a little bit earlier. I left one verse off that you can read that I need. So, but, we're reading so many of the verses. I want to read. Okay, we're going to read verses 12 through 14. There's those three verses. Now, I'm going to be using that sheet, so keep the sheet and keep the Bible to look at other verses. But we're only going to read 12 through 14. And you begin to read. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who has reckoned the Spirit of the Lord, or as he's counselors has taught him. With whom did he take counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor is be sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We just want to talk today and share with you just for a moment from the subject. Now, when I was preparing this message, and I'm sure I chose the subject, something in my mind told me, remembrance, that I may have used the subject before, but I didn't look at a list of sermons that only happened. I didn't find it. So, it's okay. It's okay, because it's good for our moment right now. God gave it to me because of the moment we share right now. I want to talk about, he got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Amen. You know, there's
lot of us sung when we were younger, especially in church. Amen. Preachers and teachers. You and me, brother. Mama's in the head. He got the whole world.
Yeah, everybody.
In his hand. And we want to take the people look at that from Isaiah chapter 40 and look at some things there. I think this message, along with the message the Lord gave us last week, is to prepare us. Amen. He knows we are living in perilous times. Difficult times. And he just wants us to know, hey, while you're going through and living it, and hearing all the things that are going on, I want you to know, number one, amen, you're never alone.
Amen.
And number two, I got you in my hands.
Amen.
Because it may get a little rough than it is now. I think he just wants us to know, hey, remember those things. Your journey gets a little difficult. That you're never alone. And I got you.
Yes.
I got you in my hand. I got the whole world in my hand. Listen, this in Isaiah, chapter 40 is a turning point. In chapter 1 through 39, Isaiah had been prophesying and trying to get Judah to turn around from their evil ways, from their idolatry. Amen. Because judgment is coming if they don't turn around.
Yeah.
He said, he spoke about that all the way from chapter 1 to 39. Turn around, turn around. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming because of your sinfulness, because of your idolatry. And then he makes a turn in chapter 40. In some call this part of Isaiah, Deuter Isaiah, or second Isaiah, because some have even said, because of the difference, it seemed like a whole other book. But in verse chapter 40, he said, now he realized that there is not going to be a turn. So what I'm going to do, since I know you're not going to turn around, and judgment will come. Judgment will come, but also I just want to know when judgment comes. When you go through the chastisement that I'm going to pour out,
right,
when you suffer and go through, realize, people of God, that I still got you in my hands. Well, sometimes we only thank God got us in his hands when everything is going well. But I'm trying to tell you, God's got us in his hands when things are going well, and when things are not going so well, we're still in his hands. So in chapter 40, he said, he gave us a message. Hey, just that won't last forever. Still in my hands. Still got you. The whole world is in my hands. I don't know about you today, but I'm glad that the whole world is in his hands. Well, Pastor, what do you mean when you say that the whole world is in his hands? I'm saying that, I'm using the word, God is sovereign. He's sovereign. If you don't know what he means, that means he's in control. God is in control. That's a good thing to know when you're going through. He has unlimited power.
It's true.
To do whatever he pleases. He's independent of all outside influences.
Amen.
Gravity, space, the space and time continuum, he's independent of.
Yeah.
There is no force in the universe that can stop God or control. There's nobody above him. He has no equal. He has no rival. Listen, let me read this to you. Isaiah 40:46-11. You can turn to it if you fast enough. If not, just write it down. Get it when you get home. Isaiah 46. I want to read. I'm talking about his sovereignty now. Verses 9-11. It says, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. There's no other God. You idolaters, there is no other God. I'm the only God. I'm God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declare the end from the beginning. And from the ancient time, things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In other words, he's saying, because I am God, and God alone, I'll do what is my pleasure. And can't nobody stop it. Listen, verse 11. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. Now listen, I've spoken it. I will also bring the past. I have purposed it. I will also do it. The way God said, if I've spoken it, I will bring the past. Can nobody stop me from bringing the past? If I purpose it, I will also do it. Because I've got ultimate control.
Sure.
If God is sovereign, then God is above. He's just that great. So sovereignty says that God is in control. Now let me show you how this works. Because when you read the beginning of chapter 40 in the Bible, it says, comfort ye my people. He's already telling them what's coming. Now he's telling them about the disaster and the catastrophe that's coming in chapters 1 through 39. Then in chapter 40, he says, comfort them. Amen. Because he realized, even in the midst of this, he cared about his people. How do you comfort a people who are going through?
Yeah.
How do you get through it and comfort? We think of comfort maybe like a comforter, something that's obvious. But when he says comfort, he's saying, give them strength.
Yeah.
Give them strength to get through.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that God wants us to have the strength to get through it? God said, I'm going to get them through. They're going through right now. And they're going through some consequences because of their behavior and because of their heart attitude. But because their steel mind, I want to get them through. So I need for the school of prophets out there to know what I want to tell them to comfort my people. Now, how do you comfort somebody that's going through? What words can you give of somebody that's going through? How can you comfort a person that's going through? And Isaiah, through his poetry, because when you look at Isaiah, especially here in chapter 40, you will see how he's poetic.
Yeah.
Not only is he prophetic, but he's poetic. Amen.
Yeah.
So, and look at it by poetry. Poetry, you don't just hear it and get it, but poetry is not something you can read like prose and get the message. That's all it is to. But poetry, you have to experience.
Sure.
You don't read it.
Yeah.
You experience it because it involves and captures your emotion and makes words say more than they can say in prose.
Yeah.
That's the power of poetry. In a word that's We put in a normal sentence to say something, but in poetry, it says so much more than it says in prose. So Isaiah does that. Now, Isaiah says, number one, the king is coming. King is coming. I'm going to read it because, like I said, I didn't want to have four sheets. It had a lot of room. It said it'll be four pages. But it says, come, you know, people speak, come to Jerusalem and cry out to her. I'm in 40, verse 2. Let her warfare end, and let her iniquity depart, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sin. The voice of one crying, will it prepare the will of the Lord? Make straight the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low, and crooked places shall be straight, and rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, he said, God is coming, a king is coming. And back in biblical days, in the days when it was written, when the king came, amen, you went and saw whatever way that king was going to come into town, whatever way he was going to come into that community, you went out and made sure that road that he was coming in on was a smooth road. You moved the cushion and you moved everything and got ready because the king is coming. Amen. You just made a pathway for him.
Yeah.
And my brothers and sisters, amen, God said, hey, I'm going to comfort you because I'm going to come to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to comfort you. I'm coming. But in order to experience what I want to do, you need to prepare. My brother and sister, that's what we've been doing this last week. We've been preparing because we want God's intervention in our lives and in our church. If you want God's intervention, you've got to say, God, I want to prepare a way. Amen. I had too many things on the road for you to get to me.
Yeah.
I had to move some of the stuff off the road because I wanted to have, I wanted you to come to me. And I wanted an intervention. I wanted your intervention and your in our church situation. You to intervene in my own life. You to intervene in my community and in my world. I want your intervention, intervention, so that's why I had to move some things out of the way so you could come in and get to me because I need you. Amen.
Yeah.
Too many things were in the way for me. Amen. For you to get to me. You couldn't talk to me. You couldn't reason with me. You couldn't help me to understand what's happening, but I had to move some things out of the way. And what we've been doing is we're moving some things out of the way. So we have time to pray. Moving some things out of the way so we can spend time with Him. Because when the King of Glory shows up, when glory shows up, that's the time to speak. We want glory to come into our time with Him. We want to see how special our God is.
Yeah.
So God said, give me. Make room for
it. Yeah, yeah. Make room.
Clear the room. And then you really like when the president comes.
Yeah.
When the president comes, I don't care who you are. When Air Force One lane in doubt, they will clear the room.
Yeah.
Amen. All other things got stopped for a while. Can't nobody land while the president is clearing the lane.
Amen.
Everybody at the airport, they got cleared away because you can't get around. You had to have room to come through. Because they have to make a way for you. They take people off the street. Amen. The hotel is dead end. All the people in the hotel got to go through a security check. Amen. The floor above him, the floor under him. Can't be nobody. He takes three floors, whole floor.
Yeah.
Because he's the president. So everybody has to make room.
Yes.
And I'm saying, this week was about making room for him.
Yes,
making room for him to get to us. Making room for him to talk to us.
Yes.
Making room for him to walk with us.
Yes.
Because we wanted to experience the King of Glory.
Yes.
Now when Isaiah is really talking about when Christ comes. Amen. When he came the first time. And when he's coming back again. But you can experience that. You can experience his intervention in your life.
Amen.
If you'll make room for him.
Yeah.
I'm glad about that. I'm glad. Even if you've been on a path of this. spend some time together. God does that. That's the God that we serve. And then he said, hey, you got to put yourself straight.
Amen.
And if I can put yourself in your life, you got to get it. You know, you got to. Sure. And you can't do it by yourself. You'll have to get it straight.
Yes,
you have to get it straight. And then he comes in. But now, in verse 11, that's really the verse. See what happens when he comes in. Verse 11 says, he will, we go back to 10. Behold, the Lord shall come with, the Lord shall come with a strong hand. And his arm shall rule for him. In verse 10. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Look, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lamb with his own and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with him. Big level. He's like a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
I told you before, Jesus. So he used the same like a shepherd, man. Using anthropomorphic physics and all of us understand God. He uses human characteristics or animal characteristics. So he said, like a shepherd. Like a, when God comes to you, picture you up like a shepherd.
Yeah.
And look, he said, gather the lamb and put you in his arm. And then he doesn't don't put you in, but he carries you close to his bosom.
Yeah.
So the first thing about God's hand, God's hand are gracious hands. Loving hands. Amen. Grace. Now remember, this is a nation that had rebelled against you. And I doubt you, but he said, now, when it's over, yeah, you have to be chastised. But now that it's over, I'm coming after you.
Yeah, he does.
And like a lamb, I want to hold you close.
Yes, yes.
To my bosom.
Yes.
Hey, that's a good God.
Yeah.
He did that drag lamb on.
Right.
Oh, he picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
Show tenderness. Yes. And held him to his bosom. What a mighty God. Sir. So one thing, he got gracious hands, gracious hands. But not only does he have gracious hands, but even before that, in 10, and then I'm going to show you, we're going to see it in 12 or 10. Let me say 10 before we get to 12. That's why I want to show you 10, but it's like 10, 11 part of a paragraph that goes with 1. I want to start at 12, I think the new paragraph now. But 10 says, behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand. So not only is it a gracious hand, but it's a great hand. He got great, he's great, my great is strong. He gives us a gracious, loving, tender hand. But he also comes with a strong hand. In other words, he said he comes with a loving hand.
Amen.
But not only is his hand loving, his hand is large. Because he got the whole world in his hand. This hand, he's comforting us. He's comforting his people by saying, I got it in control.
Okay.
Because sovereignty, God, is in control.
Amen.
Now, who's in control? Can cause you to have peace or anxiety.
It's true. It's true.
Listen. Who's in control can cause you to have peace or anxiety?
It's true.
Amen. Some of us, when we had certain government officials in control, a few years ago, because of the person that was in control, we had anxiety. Yeah. And even in our state, we might have some anxiety right now.
Sure.
peace or peace, the anxiety, because who's in control?
Yes.
So God said, this God, we already know he got grace and love in him. But he said, not only am I having grace and love in after here, I like a shell piece of a lamb and hold it to my business. But I'm strong, King.
Yeah.
I'm in control. I'm in complete control. My control cannot be even, there's nobody that can overrun my control.
Yeah.
I got the one control, I got control of the rest.
Amen.
That's why Jesus can walk on water. But you got control over the rest.
Yeah.
I got control over, there's no law, there's no time.
Yes.
Got the control over everything. Now listen. This is verse 12, this is verse 1, this is the key verse. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? He's trying to show you how great his hand is. How great is control? He said, let me get your hand. He said, if I plumb, I got all the waters of the earth
in my palm. Right.
That's a big hand. That's a great hand. If you got all the waters of the earth, and I did a little research, and it said he had 32, I'm not sure the word for it, but 32 and 18 zeros behind
it. Wow.
Gallon of water in his hand. That's all the water that's on earth. See, I hold it in the, I don't need, I can hold it in a plumb.
Lord have mercy.
I hold all that water
right there. Lord have mercy.
That's how big his hand is.
Wow.
I'm trying to tell you, you got the whole world.
Yeah.
You got the whole world in his hand. That's how big our God is. That's why sometimes, when I'm going through, sometimes a lot of perplexing. And my situation is even a struggle. Seems like if I can just go out and look up.
It's true.
And I can look into the universe.
Yeah, it
seems like it gives me peace.
Yeah.
Because when you're looking around, you see all the trouble, all the trial, all the things that disturb the peace.
Yeah.
But when you look up, and you see the vast universe that God made, and that he created to give you peace, because you know how powerful your God is. That's why when you go out, amen, when I have the opportunity to go out and vacate to the beach, I look out at an ocean or whatever body of water is there, because it gives you peace.
Yeah,
sure. I remember when I was on the cruise, and everybody was enjoying the cruise, one of the best things about the cruise, I just looked off the cruise. Amen. Looked out at the ship, surrounded by water, and all the water around, I couldn't see no land, and how great the ocean was. And I said to myself, his grace is even greater.
Yeah.
His grace is greater than the ocean. Yeah. That's how great our God is. He's a great God. But it didn't stop there. Tell them how great his hand is. He goes on in verse 12 and said, he measured the heaven with a span. He measured the heaven. In other words, all the stars, he measured the heaven you see at night, all the universes in star with a span. He said, what happened? What's a span? A span is the length of your hand. So God says, all the universes that I created, the span of the heaven can fit between, my hand is But I didn't do them up there. That's certainly how great I am.
Yeah,
just because I can. Just because I can. It's like sometimes an athlete, if you watch basketball, and the guy get a ball on a fast break, and he could then lay the ball up.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah, but you know some want you to know how quick, and they want their lay up, they'll take a 360 dunk. But hey, I can make the same point than lay it up. But I want you to know how great I am. God said, you know, some of these guys, I don't know what they're there for, but I want to see, I'm gonna put a million there so they'll know how when folks look up into the stars at night and see, they'll know how great I am.
Yeah.
And that in prehistoric time, they looked up and they couldn't see all of them there. So now that we have high power, telescopes, and things that can visualize, they even see more. Because he created all the universe. We got the earth to be.
Yeah.
And then I forget, but a whole lot of earth can fit in the sun.
Huh.
And you got 10 with 24
zero
suns. And our sun is one of the little sun. He created out of nothing. Okay, he stepped out on one because one doesn't step out on. And spoke to nothing because one doesn't speak to. And said, let there be. And the whole world was created.
Yes.
Now some people have problems with some things in the Bible.
Right.
Have a problem with that young and well thing. I'm saying, no. You might not believe it. If you believe Genesis 1:1,
right,
then young and well ain't nothing. Because in Genesis 1:1, there was nothing. He spoke, and universes appeared. Now, if he can do that, I'm quite sure the same God can create a fish that can carry two. So, when you go Genesis 1:1, the whole Bible, whatever he do from then on, is intersubstantial, and you know how great your God is.
Yes.
So, you know, the whole Bible is sometimes when you're going through this thing about Genesis 1:1, if God can do this, can you work this thing out for you? You didn't have to go all the way through the Bible. You don't have to go to Revelation, you don't have to go to Ephesians. You don't have to go to Matthew, Mark, amen. They go Genesis 1:1. Stop right there.
Yeah.
And know how powerful your God is.
Yeah, preacher.
The one, so listen, the one with the loving hands that peep you up like a lamb and hold him close tenderly to his breast is also with the one with the powerful hand that created a whole. And he got you in those hands. He got you and me in those hands. Preachers, teachers, mom, dads, you and me, brother, you and me, sister, he got it in his hands. You know what he got in control? There's sometime in your life. Might be this evening. Might have been this morning. Might have been last week. I know some of you. Amen. That's what I'm about to say. Sometimes you get to a place where you say, and you look around, and you say things that are out of hand. You say that?
Yeah.
Things that are out of hand. Things got so bad, they're out of hand. Things, and that's just me, they're out of control. It's getting out of hand. You say that?
Yeah.
It's getting out of hand. You look around, and all the mess that's going on, it's getting out of hand. But I'm not about to tell you, you don't get out of his hands.
No.
God, when man is out of hand, remember, we're in God's hand.
Yes, we are.
When man is out of hand, at your job, in your neighborhood, in your home, in your marriage, in whatever atmosphere it is, when man is out of hand, even that church is in God's hand.
Yeah.
breath with us. The flower fades because the breath of the Lord rolled upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. God's word. When God says it, it stands. Amen. People on the flower, it will fade. But when God says a thing, you can trust him. When you can trust in his promises.
Yes.
His promises are true. The thing is, we have to have trust. That's what God is building in our life. That's why he takes us through things. Because our trust is not where it should be. Your trust should reach a point where it's certain. Have you trust? Has your faith reached a point where you're certain? I'm certain. I'm certain Christ died for my sin. I'm certain. I'm sure about it. I'm certain I'm headed to heaven. I'm certain he's going to bring me through. I'm certain about his purpose for my life. When you get some certainty, when faith reaches a point where you're certain, and not an opinion, you're certain about that. You're certain about that you don't see. That's what my later versions talk about Hebrew. Amen. You're certain. Faith is being certain of things you don't see yet. You're certain. Because why are you certain? Because God said, I don't see it, but God said. Because sometimes you can be more certain about it because God said it than you see. Because sometimes your eyes are fooled. But when God said it, you can put more trust and be more certain because God said it than you see.
Yeah. Amen.
That's how certain God wants us to be about. He has the whole world in his hand. Now, let's go down to verse 12. He's trying to comfort us. He comforted us by saying, I'm in control. I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. Whatever going on, remember, I got the last word. You can't put a period in a sentence.
Right.
I only can put a period. You put a comma, question mark. But I'm the only one that can stop it because until I speak,
right. Amen.
It ain't finished.
Amen.
Yeah.
Until I ask, it's not finished. But look at what it says. In verse 15, behold, the nations are the drop in a bucket and are counted as small dust on scale. Look, he lifts up his eyes at a very little thing. In Lebanon are not sufficient to burn, nor are the beasts sufficient for burnt offering. All nations before him as another, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. He says, all nations are but a drop in a bucket. They get a bucket, they like a drop. One drop, a whole bucket. Or they like a dust on the scale. A scale they have dust on it, and you don't, and the scale still reacted. Because it's just dust. Now, some nations have rules against them. Some people think because their nation and how great their nation is, they can touch in with God.
No.
But remember, when you weigh out the scene,
right.
God will still be here.
He'll be God. Right.
Hitler thought he had it all.
Amen.
He was there. But Hitler was here 8 years. He reigned for 8 years and he was gone.
Yeah.
But God has been here from everlasting,
right, to everlasting.
Amen. So he knows like a small dot on the line of time.
Yeah.
And I don't know who proved that he is.
Yeah.
But I'm not about to tell you. He just does on the stage. Then I a chance for cyber warfare. We can interrupt, you know, like the internet, and interrupt like the water supply, and interrupt like the power supply. And the economy causes it to have anxiety. Then you think about, wait a minute, whose child am I?
Yeah.
You start thinking about how great your God is.
Yeah.
I don't care whatever happens.
Yeah,
amen. No, I don't care. He'll bring me too. Whatever you try to do, you're going to be there for a little while. And I know God has been bringing big folk down for a long time. Who's out there for all day. He will bring you down to nothing.
Yes,
you don't believe that, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was a great ruler, tooling the crown. And God lifted up a tribe, but God brought him down there like a beast.
Yes,
he laid.
Yes, he did. He has no equals. Thank God.
Ain't no nation strong enough to have God.
Yeah, you're right.
Ain't no nation that got enough amen in their boxing ability to box the ball and pray it out with God. Ain't no governor, no president, no senator that can stop our God. You can try to suppress the vote, you can try this and try that. God, you're hiding from you.
testing moments.
Yeah, sure.
And when you're in about me. He's in control and he's God. That's the God I serve. That whole world.
Yes.
He controls everything. Control your boss.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
He controls everything.
Yes.
Let me close that. Let me close that. But then he gets down to the last verse. It says, not only he a power for God, but in verse 29 he gives power
to the weak.
Reason why some of us ain't experiencing any power because we're too strong. Thank you, too strong. Thank you, guys, together. Thank you, don't need you. He said he gives power. I'm powerful and I'll share with the weak. I will share my power with those who are weak. And to those who have nobody, he'll increase your strength. Ain't that good?
Thank you, Lord.
You ever just went through something where it just took all your strength?
Lord have mercy. Lord have
took
mercy.
All your faith?
Yes, it did, Lord.
You almost got to the point where you're powerful. He said, oh, yeah. You were weak, and then that's when my strength came about.
Yes.
And he didn't give you an infusion of strength.
Yes.
You sitting on your bedside with your hand in your head.
Yes.
You don't know what your next step, but when you're weak and you need strength, strength will come in the room from nowhere.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, man, you don't understand. I can be stopped. I've been sitting there and thank God, and all of a sudden, strength came.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank
all of a sudden, you get to pray. Wait a minute. I got a feeling there. You ever been there? And you said, just a few moments ago,
right.
You were kind of down in the dumps.
Right.
You know, thinking about the Lord, and all of a sudden, said, wait a minute, something to happen.
Yeah.
I got a feeling.
Yeah.
Everything going to be all right.
Yeah.
Be all right.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost told me and covered us all that everything is going to be all right. Ain't nobody come.
So they won't faint. Everything will
Jesus.
So God, here we are. You got a couple of tools in your days, God. You ain't no tools in your days, you can change one of the stuff.
Jesus.
Maybe we want to be, even after two, but we still want to continue.
Yes.
Spend more time in the worst
thing. Yes, yes.
Come before him. Move some other things out of the way.
Yes.
So we can come to you, God.
Yes.
This is only the beginning. No telling where you want to take us.
I'm
glad.
Yes.
And you should come. I'm glad that when I was weak, hallelujah.
Yes.
He shared his spirit with me.
Yes, yes.
So many times I had to bow
yes.
with wings. And then I had to run and not get rid of it.
Yeah.
But now I can walk. Hallelujah. And because of my experience with him, I don't have to faint. I don't have to throw in the towel. Because I know the Lord is a way maker.
Yes.
He said, I know I'm in his.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody know that?
Thank you.
If you know that, raise your hand. I'm in his hands.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm in his hands. Tell them someone around there. No, I'm in his hands.
I'm in his hands.
I'm in his hands. Somebody might need to know that. I'm in his hands.
Yeah. Now, more than forevermore, let us say together, amen.